All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. And the message today is Romans and the God of Hope. It is December 11, 2022. I am Dr. Mary Craig, and today Stephen Craig, who's president of Mary Craig Ministries, is going to deliver the message of Romans and the God of Hope. And first we're going to pray. Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly, in a very public spectacle. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of the earth, and coming again in power and great glory. And Lord, may we be ready, because all things in heaven are at ready. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as a spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as a spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility on bended knee with our hearts bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. And now I'm turning this over to Stephen Craig, who's president of Mary Craig Ministries.
We turn next to Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul wrote this letter to confirm to the believers in Rome true doctrine. In this letter, Paul distinguishes between the Holy Spirit's work from the operation of providence and from the objective presentation of truth. There is another influence distinct from the Word, though connected with it, in producing faith and in leading Christians in whom this faith already exists. The Gentiles were made obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, Romans 15, verse 19. The miracles wrought by Paul are attributed to the Holy Spirit. The conversion of the Gentiles and the offering up of the converted Gentiles as an acceptable sacrifice are both ascribed to the Holy Spirit, Romans 15, verse 16. In fact, in Romans 15, verse 13, Paul talks about the God of hope filling the believer with all joy and peace in believing, even abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The communication of the Holy Spirit proved Jesus to be the Messiah and the Son of God, according to his own claim. It's John 5, verse 19. 15 verses 26 and 27. No created being could have given such a gift, as did Jesus. In Romans 5 verse 5, we have this wonderful fact. Quote, "The love of God is shed abroad upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us." Unquote. The Holy Spirit has a work to do. He is given according to a divine economy. Through Him, the redeeming love in God's heart is shed abroad in our hearts. This is a continual thing, and it is distinct from the proclamation of the gospel and from the miraculous gift. The Holy Spirit sheds abroad God's boundless, free, unchanging love in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is given to dwell in believers perpetually, reminding us of reconciliation, applying constant experiences of God's love, and assuring us of a gift in the perpetuity, never to be forfeited. In Romans 8, Paul provides us, under the superintending influence of the Holy Spirit, the most fully developed passage about the Holy Spirit's operations. A true believer is led by the Spirit of God. The blessing of the Holy Spirit is grounded in the surety obedience of Jesus Christ as its procuring cause. Those who have the Spirit indwelling in them and who walk after the Spirit are exempt from condemnation. Those free from the service of sin as their master through the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus are also free from condemnation. In Romans 6, verses 1 to 13, Paul shows the connection between justification and sanctification on the ground of merit or purchase. Then in Romans 8, he shows that spiritual life is secured by the effectual operation of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 7, Paul speaks of the struggle or war within due to the fact that two laws are in operation simultaneously, the law of sin and death and the law of Christ, of life in Christ. And this is Romans 8, verses 1 to 4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law, might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that's the version ESV. The Holy Spirit is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This is a quote from George Smeaton. The Spirit of life residing in Christ and dispensed by Christ is a law of irresistible power counteracting the law of sin and death. It is the law written on the heart by which the regenerate man is step by step enabled to resist sin and to follow holiness. It is the law of the life-giving Spirit in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Again, that's George Smeaton. What can we notice about the Holy Spirit in Romans 8, number 1 of 7? Paul introduces three distinct expressions. Number 1, believers walk after the Spirit. That is chapter 8, verse 4. Number 2, they are spiritually minded. Chapter 8, verse 6. Number 3, they are in the Spirit. Chapter 8, verse 9. How is one, quote, in the Spirit? The answer is by the act of regenerating grace. How is one spiritually minded? The answer is, someone minds the things of the Spirit when he is inwardly disposed, moved, and motivated according to the mind of the Spirit. How does someone walk after the Spirit? This happens when a believer's practical and outward life agrees with the life of the Holy Spirit within. Someone is walking in the manner or way of the Holy Spirit according to the character and disposition of the Holy Spirit. Now, for number 2 of 7, the Holy Spirit dwells in the true believer, chapter 8, verse 9. There is a conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. They are at war. The indwelling Spirit of Christ proves we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Christ, the last Adam and second man, received the Holy Spirit as a reward for his perfect performance in order to give the Spirit to those for whom he died. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of Christ's. Not everyone has the Holy Spirit. Only those who are given to Christ and redeemed by him enjoy the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's indwelling imparts the spiritual mind, the mark by which the true follower of Christ is distinguished. Christ and his people are anointed with the same Spirit. Number 3 of 7. The Holy Spirit is life because of righteousness. Romans 5, verse 10. Death for the believer in Christ is not a punishment. The body is dead because of sin. Death is permitted to run its course, but the Spirit is life on the ground of Christ's righteousness. Jesus had no personal sin. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness in our place and stead and on our behalf. Jesus walks in the power of an endless life. Jesus gives life to all creatures as Creator and gives life immortal, incorruptible, and unfading to the new creature or new creation in him. In other words, to all the redeemed of the Lord. Number 4 of 7. Those who have the Holy Spirit mortify the deeds of the body. Chapter 8, verse 13. Believers don't owe the flesh anything. They owe the Holy Spirit everything. The flesh, or deeds of the body, are to be mortified because they are the cause of death. With every sin, there is a little death. Kill the sin. Number 5 of 7. Believers are led by the Spirit of God and are thus the children of God. Chapter 8, verse 14. The Holy Spirit is the one who prompts inwardly, who inclines the heart to do the will of the Father with the mind of Christ, who rules and guides so as not to omit obedience or neglect privilege. Believers are like little children who cannot stand alone and need support. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. We are prone to stumble and fall, and we are by our own human nature reluctant to do the right thing. The Holy Spirit helps us walk. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption, the one who affects sonship and transforms believers into the relationship of sons. The Holy Spirit is the producing cause, as also of power, of revelation, of wisdom, and or of love. Number 6 of 7. In Romans 8, verse 23, Paul says, quote, "We ourselves also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, ... He's talking about the universe groaning and waiting for deliverance. Christians also who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan. Believers have the commencement of the communications of the Spirit to be enjoyed in this life. Number 7 of 7. In Romans 8, verse 26, we find the Holy Spirit helping us in prayer. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, since we don't know always what to ask in prayer. Dr. Robert Raymond, my mother's systematics professor in seminary, used to call the Holy Spirit, quote, the divine editor. He helps us find the words. He makes what we say acceptable to the Father. The Holy Spirit also intercedes in us with unutterable groanings while Christ intercedes for us. Sometimes we cannot speak at all. Things are so bad, so disturbing, so emotional, so traumatic. Sometimes all we can do is sigh or groan or make some kind of sound, but it's not a word. Even in that, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, in our inabilities. It's not to become an excuse for us to be crude or rude in our speech or not to try to express what's inside of us in an acceptable way to the Father. But the Holy Spirit will help. My mother believes he shows us what to pray from the Scriptures and leads us through even the darkest days of our lives. He also helps us pray when it's time to be thankful, to praise, to worship, to glorify the Godhead properly. He helps us communicate with a holy God who transcends us in every way, but who also stoops in his grace to dwell in us and share life together with him. The believer has a choice between two masters to serve, God and sin. Romans 6, verses 15 to 22. In serving God as the only master, there are two ways to do it. In the oldest of the letter, or in the newness of the Spirit. Romans 7, verses 1 to 6. Dangers exist in yielding to sin as a master. In describing serving God in the newness of the Spirit, Andrew Murray notes, quote, "It is only out of the death of the old life of confidence in the flesh that the new can arise." Again, that's Andrew Murray. When the soul governs the body, or when the body rules over the soul, one is not governed, ruled, led by the Holy Spirit. Someone either follows the dictates of the mind of the natural man with a self-guided inner rule, or someone uses a moral external rule like the Ten Commandments. Paul says, quote, "If you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." We are not under the penalty of the law. In Christ we, by grace, live in the estate of grace. What is it to have the law written in the heart? Quote, the capital S, Spirit within, that is, quote, the Spirit within, the capital S, frees from the law without. And that was a quote from Andrew Murray. The Spirit within, capital S, frees from the law without. Again, Andrew Murray. Key words for Romans 6 are, know, reckon, yield. It's a fun and revealing exercise to find verses in Romans 6 for each word. As you do, you might think of reasons why making dead the deeds of the body through the indwelling Spirit precede the leading of the Spirit. Romans 6, verse 13. We call such research, quote, discovery time. This process prepares the way for verses 15 and 16, the abiding witness to sonship in the living power of the Holy Spirit. Sin will never be totally rooted out, but it can be put to death, be kept in the place of death. The life of Christ brings with that life the making dead of sin. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus and his power to us to keep sin down, to kill it, to conquer a sin in our lives. Jesus secured for believers that the Holy Spirit would, could, dwell within them. George Bowen noted, quote, "There can be no safe guidance that is not perpetual. The advantage of a year may be lost in an hour. If we act independently of the Spirit in little things, we shall look for Him in vain in great things." Again, that's George Bowen, American missionary to Bombay, India, about the time 1865. So I'm going to read that quote one last time. "There can be no safe guidance that is not perpetual. The advantage of a year may be lost in an hour. If we act independently of the Spirit in little things, we shall look for Him in vain in great things." George Bowen. We are to pray in the Spirit and with our understanding, knowing the Word of God informs, encourages, and improves our prayers. Let the Spirit of faith hold the promise, watch, and wait for, and follow His leading. Surrender the flesh to death, and yield to His rule. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Amen.
Amen. And so let's pray. Father God, we just thank You for the greatness of Your love. For You so loved the world that You gave Your only begotten Son. And Lord, we thank You that in the sending of the Son, who was and is the child of the Holy Spirit, Lord, having the Spirit without measure, in all fullness, and we thank You, Lord, that He, along with You, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, sent the Holy Spirit, Lord, who is the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father. And so, Lord, we give you praise and help us to think about that at this time of Christmas, that Jesus is the Son. He is the child of the Holy Spirit. There is much focus on Jesus' mother, Mary. But Lord, Jesus is the child of the Holy Spirit. Help us to think what that meant. God with us. And Lord, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, and let us celebrate the birth of the Savior. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And Lord, we just help us to spend time thinking about what this means that we do every year. We celebrate Christmas, but so much of the focus is on twinkling lights and, you know, flashing toys and whatever. And I don't know. So let us make time to think about the real meaning and who you are and what you, God, have given us. Gifts that no one but the Creator could give. No one but Jesus could give. And the Holy Spirit gives us life. He is a life producer, the life maker. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21 from the New King James Version. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.